It's Tuesday, the 24th of March, and this is the Monocle Minute today.
So we have nothing left. So we're absolutely not prepared for something like this. So I think that is one measure that will have to change after or hopefully during the crisis. But we need to rebuild our preparedness.
We find out why Sweden has taken a different approach to coronavirus. Then New York adds temporary protected bike lanes in Manhattan and Brooklyn. And we hear from our Asia bureau chief, Fiona Wilson, on the likely postponement of the Olympic Games in Tokyo. I'm Carlotta Rabello in London. The Monocle Minute starts now. Sweden's Prime Minister Stefan Löfven says the country's citizens should be prepared for more restrictive measures in order to deal with coronavirus. So far, Sweden's authorities have emphasized voluntary measures across society, but the strategy has provoked fierce debate in the country. Therese Larsson-Holten is the chief foreign analyst at Svenska Dagbladet newspaper in Sweden. And earlier, Therese joined Monocle's Tom Edwards, who started by asking her just how divisive the government's approach has been in Sweden.
Well, I would say that half of the country thinks that we're doing too much and the other half thinks that we're doing too little. It's almost a keep calm and carry on sense anyway. What one needs to know is that this whole thing is being run by the public health agency and not so much by the politicians. That's the way we tend to do it. In the Swedish law, it's the public agencies that do these kind of things so that it's not being politicized, which is different from most other countries, I would assume. It's the experts that are making most of the decisions.
Well, and I think all around the world, we've had all of these stories about the end of expertise and people's frustrations with them. The populists drove that narrative and it's been stopped in its tracks. I guess we should welcome that. Do you think to a degree there's an issue with countries like my own here in the UK? We look to Sweden and say, well, why are we being tasked with these draconian measures if the Swedes are so much more sanguine? Do you think it is as simple as a societal difference in terms of how we respond to science, scientists, and the primacy of experts?
I think that might be one thing, because I think that the people, public, tend to trust authorities and tend to trust the state. But still, I mean, we might see the same draconian measures in a few days. You never know. I mean, the prime minister said in the speech to the nation yesterday that was televised, which is very rare in Sweden, but he said that we might come up with other measures in the coming few days, so be prepared. But I mean, schools are open. My daughter, who's six, she's still going to kindergarten. I'm working from home and have done so now for 2 weeks. Restaurants are open, everything is open, but it's pretty empty in the streets, I would say.
Should there be a spike? Should Sweden experience maybe a little later in the cycle the same kind of pressures that we're seeing elsewhere? One imagines, to generalise and perhaps follow a cliche about Nordic preparedness, that Sweden is well set to address that. Is that a fair point?
We're very much not prepared. And that's part of the criticism towards the government. Because, I mean, during the Cold War, we had all these field hospitals, ventilators, everything. We were really prepared for a nuclear winter. And that was all sold out or being given away to the Baltic states in the 90s. So we have nothing left. So we're absolutely not prepared for something like this. So I think that is one measure that will have to change after or hopefully during the crisis. But we need to rebuild our preparedness. And I think the entire world probably will have to change after this.
That was Therese Larsson-Holten in conversation with Monocle's Tom Edwards. And now to New York City, where temporary protected bike lanes could soon be incorporated into the city's permanent cycling infrastructure. Monocle's Nick Moniz has the story.
This week, cyclists in New York will be able to pedal along newly minted, although temporary, protected lanes in Manhattan and Brooklyn. Their construction, under the direction of Mayor Bill de Blasio, responds to a recent surge in cyclist numbers as people look to maintain social distancing and ride out the pandemic. As New Yorkers' habits are forced to change, the possibility of these bike lanes becoming a permanent addition to the streetscape is also a reality. Mike Lydon, a specialist in temporary urban interventions and founder of New York-based planning agency Street Plans, says that the installations will set a precedent that the mayor and Department of Transportation can build on. Lydon explains that once the pattern is set, the community will get used to it and hope that they stay. De Blasio, who has long tried to peddle a bike agenda, will be hoping this is the case.
It's time now for today's column. Here's Monocle's Asia Bureau Chief, Fiona Wilson.
Even as the world unraveled and images of lockdowns in every corner of the globe flashed across our screens, the Japanese government and the IOC were, publicly at least, sticking to the line that preparations for the Summer Olympics were going ahead as planned. The Japanese public had other ideas. When polled last week, 70% said they didn't think the Games would happen as scheduled. And then yesterday, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe said in the Diet that postponement might be on the cards. Canada preempted an official decision by announcing that it wouldn't be sending its athletes to Tokyo. Australia looks set to follow. It's a tough decision for Japan. The country has been preparing since 2013, and huge sums have been spent, upwards of 11 billion euros. 4.5 million tickets have been sold in Japan. 50,000 people queued to see the Olympic flame in the northern city of Sendai this weekend. The logistical challenges of postponing are immense, and the economic impact makes for pessimistic reading. But there is little other option. Abe and Yuriko Koike, the governor of Tokyo, have both been clear that cancellation is not an option, and nor is an event without spectators. Japan seems to have staved off the worst of the virus for now, but others are still in the thick of the crisis. Before more countries are forced to pull out, Japan and the IOC might be better to put an end to speculation. There would be no shortage of sympathy.
My thanks to Monocle's Fiona Wilson in Tokyo. Then elsewhere on today's agenda. It has rather incredibly been 6 years since Germany last recorded a federal budget in the red. The so-called Schwarze Null, or Black Zero, which has long been a source of pride for this economically conservative nation, will now come to an end. Tomorrow, the cabinet will officially ask Parliament to lift a legally mandated debt brake to free up 156 billion euros in deficit spending to combat coronavirus. The point of the Schwarze Null was always to save in good times to have the cash to spend in the bad. The Cuban government has promised to do all it can to provide face masks for every member of the 11.2 million strong population, but it won't have to do it alone. Businesses and social schemes all over the island have responded to the crisis, repurposing everything from secondhand clothes to tablecloths to turn into face masks. A 17-person community seamstress project known as Petals for Life has already made and distributed over 300 face masks to the vulnerable. One linen factory shifted production from making bedspreads to 500 masks a day. And the fashion brand Dador has been working hard from Old Havana to source more fabrics to be used in further mask production. Chinese cinemas are slowly reopening after an almost two-month closure. And though initial viewing figures are low, it will nevertheless come as welcome news for the film industry, which has been depending increasingly on the Chinese box office. The recovery is cautious. Around 500 cinemas reopened on Friday with mainly the re-release of older films, and that's less than 5% of the total cinemas in the country. Other nations, meanwhile, are taking measures to protect their own film industry, like France, which has loosened its extremely strict laws on movie release windows. The French will be able to see some films on demand much earlier than expected. Good news for those that are still confined to their homes. Read more about today's stories by subscribing to our daily email bulletin at our website. I'm Carlotta Rabello. The Monocle Minute returns on Wednesday.